Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Mark 5, and let's read verses 25 through 34. Beautiful story, powerful story. Mark chapter 5, give me verse number 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately, when she touched his garment, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that affliction, or a lot of translations say of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power, well, what kind of power? Well, in this case, healing power. When the power of God touches you, it'll drive out whatever needs to be driven out. It'll put in what never needs to be put in, and it'll make right whatever needs to be made right. But there's different kinds of power. In this case, it was healing power. She felt, and Jesus knew in himself. See, he didn't even know who touched him, but he knew power flowed out of him. Power had gone out of him, verse 30, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said, "You know, Lord, everybody's touching you. The crowd's all around you, bumping into you. And you say, 'Who touched me?'" Verse 32. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith." Notice it was her faith. She came to Jesus. Jesus didn't go to her. She came to Jesus, who had the power. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith. Your faith released the power, but your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Verse 25 again said she suffered from a flow of blood for 12 years. In other words, she was hemorrhaging, she was bleeding, and this was something that she had a constant problem with. Maybe it was better some days, maybe it was worse some days, but she had suffered with this. And not just suffered with the disease, the Bible said she suffered from many physicians. But if you go back, and you can, if you go back and you see their cures for their days, you'll understand why she suffered from many physicians. And then she said she spent all that she had, so she's suffering. This is a 12-year-long chronic, serious problem. She didn't get better. She lost all of her money, and she was getting worse. She suffered, and eventually this would have taken her life. And then verse 29, I think this is extremely interesting. It says, she felt in her body she was healed of that affliction. Other translations said she healed of her suffering or her terrible condition. But many, many, many translations say, including the King James, that she was healed of her plague. Her plague. Now that's very interesting. And I think this helps people, if you'll listen carefully here. This helps people. What the devil wants to do to people is he wants to shake their faith and cause them to be not be bold and not be confident in their faith when they've dealt with something over a long period of time. And so even healing ministries will talk about, you know, sometimes that's the hard thing to help those kind of people because, you know, it's like, why isn't it working? But I want you to see something here, and I think this will help you overcome that. This is from Rick Renner, and I can't say it any better than he says. He said, "We tend to use the word plague to describe worldwide pandemic outbreaks, but that is not the way it's used in Mark 25:29. This woman's sickness was not contagious, nor was it immediately life-threatening. He says, "As a university student, I suffered tremendously from allergic reactions." You know, that's some 45 years earlier. "Allergic reactions. In fact, a simple change in the weather could affect my whole body. To combat the pollen in the air and my body's reactions to them, I went to the university infirmary twice a week to receive allergy injections in both arms. As I had grown older, my allergies had progressively gotten worse and worse until they nearly controlled my life. One day when I was praying for an answer to these debilitating allergies, I began to delve into the story of the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, whom the Bible says had a plague." Now listen. He says, "I was quite struck," of course Rick is a Greek scholar. He says, "I was quite struck to see the Greek meaning of the word plague in use 529. It really gave me insight that helped me know how to pray more effectively for myself. And through this insight, I immediately received healing and never had an allergic reaction since. So he had a chronic problem, a serious chronic problem. But when he saw this truth, it helped him overcome it. So what was the truth he saw? This woman had a 12-year affliction that simply wouldn't go away or permanently respond to any kind of medical treatment. Perhaps this woman was getting better temporarily, and then it would recur again, much like the allergies that afflicted me for the many years earlier in my life. When I looked up the word plague in the Greek, I was shocked. I found this did not describe a pandemic disease at all. It was the Greek word mastigos, a very unusual word to be translated plague. This Greek word, translated plague, is borrowed from the world of torture. Specifically, this Greek word denotes the act of recurrently beating a prisoner or a victim. Once the person's wounds had mended, the torturers would bring them back to the whipping post where they were struck again and again and again. These beatings were sporadic but constant, and although they were not serious enough to kill the victim, it kept them in constant pain and misery. It was torment, it was abuse, a scourge that caused great suffering and prolonged anguish. That's what happens when people have chronic problems. I'm sure you see why this word was used to describe the condition of the woman with issue of blood. For her ailment struck her again and again and again for 12 long years. She experienced a sporadic but regular attack of this condition all those years. It was physical torment that would not go away, but just kept coming back again and again and again. Of course, sometimes people have that in their minds as well as their physical bodies. I found it extremely interesting that this was the original meaning of this Greek word. The word plague was used to describe this woman's long, protracted ailment. Let's think about that scenario for a moment. This woman didn't die from her affliction. It simply kept her life torn up for years. This was a plague that struck this woman over and over again. She had felt better, and then suddenly that affliction would reappear to strike her again. So what is a plague is referred to in Mark 25. It is an ailment, sickness, or affliction, a mental condition that regularly strikes the individual again and again. It is a reoccurring condition, not serious enough to kill you, but will make you sick and miserable. Amen. It affects the body and causes discomfort and pain. This describes all chronic conditions. You know, you hear about people that have chronic neck pains, chronic back problems, chronic leg problems, you know, allergies, chronic problems with allergies, chronic problems with high blood pressure, chronic problems with the headaches, with rashes, with fungus and back pains, and on and on and on. These are conditions that come and go and that can last for years and years and rarely permanently respond to medication or treatment of physicians. Now, when I saw this, the way this word was used to describe the woman with the issue of blood and compared it to my situation, which had gone on for years with no relief, I understand that I had been victimized by the devil's multiple reoccurring attacks on my body. If you're facing anything like this, it's time to quit punishing yourself and thinking that you have a lack of faith and put the blame where it belongs on the evil one, that is the devil himself, and realize that this is just one of his tricks, an effective trick that we are exposing this morning to cause you to be shaken in your faith. But don't be shaken in your faith. Just rise up and recognize and say, I recognize this affliction, this chronic problem is from the devil. It's meant to torture me. It's an evil ploy of the devil to hurt me. And I'm going to rise up because I do have authority over him in the mighty name of Jesus. And I don't care how long this has been affecting my life, I will rise up and be free of it today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen?
When I understood this was more than a medical attack or a condition, it was a premeditated attack of the devil. I took authority over it in Jesus' name and broke its power and stood against it anytime it tried to come against me, and it wasn't too long before I never had another episode period with that situation. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He realized I've suffered too long with this and I don't have to suffer it. Glory to God. Amen. So it's interesting that Galatians 3:13, you know, Christ has redeemed us. Redeemed, that means he's paid the price so that you can go free. Christ has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. Being made a curse for us, for cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that dies on a cross. So Jesus paid the price. He redeemed us that we could go free from the curse of the law. Now, here's what's interesting. I discovered this when I was diagnosed with cancer over 10 years ago. Over 10 years now. According to Deuteronomy 28:59, the curse included, this is what the King James said it, Deuteronomy 28:59, it's listing the curses that, you know, of the law. It says the curse included sore sickness of long continuance. Well, what's a sore sickness? Well, you know, we don't use that word too much, but you might say you will be sorely missed. That means you'll be greatly missed. And so sore sicknesses means a severe sickness, a grievous sickness, a serious sickness. Well, cancer is a serious sickness, isn't it? You know, a chronic pain is a serious, grievous sickness of long continuance. Well, I looked up that word long continuance in other translations, and they say you've used phrases like chronic sicknesses, lingering sicknesses, long-lasting sicknesses, recurring sicknesses. You see, because I was diagnosed with one of the major killers in the world of people, cancer, that's a serious sickness. And you know, the thing that you always hear was, well, yeah, they got some temporary relief. You know, it's in remission, but it's going to come back on them. I know, I'll be honest with you, in those early days, I'd see people and I'd say, man, I'm doing great. And they'd kind of look at me with those sad puppy dog's eyes saying like, well, I know you're doing great now, but you know, I bless your heart, another year and a half from now, I'll hear where it all went sour and you died. You know, well, you know, but you know, those thoughts come to your mind because people, I mean, I'm taking cancer treatments and there's people in there that's been dealing with cancer for 5 years, 7 years, 12 years. They've been to Vanderbilt. They've had this operation. They've had that operation. They've had chemo. They've had radiation. They've had another round of chemo. And it's been going on for 10 and 12 years. Recurring, longstanding, chronic. But the good news was, I found scriptures that I could sink my teeth in, that I could base my faith on, that specifically said God paid the price that I could go free from long-standing, serious, recurring sicknesses and diseases. And that includes any kind of chronic conditions that you might have in your life. Can you say amen? Amen. So don't be shaken spiritually. Don't be shaken in your faith because you've been dealing with something for a long time. Just recognize it as an evil ploy of the devil and recognize that you can be free of it. Amen? Glory to God. Jesus has set you free from chronic reoccurring attacks of the enemy. And most importantly, I didn't even get to my message, but I can do this quickly. Don't get nervous in the service. Most importantly, if you will simply do what this woman did with the issue of blood did, if you'll just simply do what she did, this woman who for 12 years was tormented and abused by the devil with a grievous, miserable, reoccurring, chronic problem, you can be free of it. You can be healed of it. You can be made whole. You can get whatever you need from God today. Everybody say today. Amen. See, the devil wants you to believe that you'll never be free of this problem or never get healed in this problem or never be blessed in your finances or whatever it is. But the truth is you can easily walk free of anything and receive the power of God to deliver you from any kind of problem that Jesus has set you free from by simply touching the hem of His garment. Touching Him and receiving His power. Any believer can do what she did and get results. Now back in 2010, you know, what is that, 13 years ago, I told the people in a service, probably a service right here, that they could do what she did, and I told them what she did. I said, you can do what she did, and you can receive an answer. You can receive your healing. You can receive an answer to your prayer. You can receive deliverance. You can receive freedom in your mind by doing exactly what she did, and you can receive it today. Well, it was interesting because we ministered to people that morning. And we heard a number of testimonies, more than normal, of people that said, man, I was free. I was blessed. I was healed. I was delivered. Now, here's a man, and I don't always keep up with these stories. I just like give God the glory, then I forget about them. And, you know, and I wish I would have kept up with him better over the year. But here's a man, and for whatever reason, I did. I talked to him personally a couple of times and talked to his wife a couple of times because I wanted to get this clear into my mind. But here's a man that's in that service. He was medically diagnosed with, you know, he had extreme back problems, chronic back problems. And he was diagnosed medically by doctors with 4 bulging discs, 2 pinched nerves. I detailed this, talked to him a couple of times. 4 bulging discs, 2 pinched nerves, and he had some kind of tumor that was wrapped around his spinal cord. And he had been dealing with this for years. Doctors said, you know, we really can't go in and try to get that tumor. They considered it inoperable because they said you could die on the operating table. You could bleed to death. And even if you didn't die on the operating table, there's a 90% chance of the operation would leave you paralyzed. And so their prognosis was you will end up in a wheelchair sooner or later. So he's at church, and I'm talking about what the woman with the issue of blood did. And he's not even totally sure. I mean, he wants to be healed, but he's not even totally sure that he believes that he can be healed. And he doesn't come to church on a regular basis. He married somebody that was a strong Christian, but you know, he just kind of came sporadically here and there. But at the end of the service, we gave him a chance. We gave people a chance to come up and do exactly what the woman with the issue of blood. And so he did. And as we laid hands on him, he was completely healed and made whole and stayed whole. Stayed healed. Matter of fact, even after that, he didn't come to church here on a regular basis, just kind of sporadically. And years later, he died in an accident, unfortunately, but his back was still healed. Well, it wasn't but about a few months after that I went to Lexington, Kentucky, and heard from my big good buddy Don Atkins this morning. He said, thank you for not, you know, because he's from Kentucky. Well, Georgia played Kentucky last night, and Kentucky was 5-0, and they were all excited, as they have been the last 3 years when they were 5-0, until they met Georgia. But and he said, thanks for not posting anything on Facebook and so forth. And so just teased him. I said, Louisville did real good. Because the University of Louisville, they beat Notre Dame. But, of course, he goes, I don't give a flip about Louisville, you know. But anyway, I was invited to hear, you know, I'm preaching at his church. And so I preached a different form of it. But basically, we're going to get down to what this woman with the issue of blood did. I preached that at his church on a Wednesday night. There was a woman there. She was one of the She's one of the trustees, one of the deacons, one of the board members' wives was in that service. That's what I'm trying to say. Board member. Well, she suffered with bouts of what I would call deep, dark depression. I mean, severe depression. Medically, you know, they call that major depressive disorder. But she just had what I call deep, dark depression, bouts of deep, dark depression. And Marianne, Don Atkins' wife, told me, you know, she told me this story later. She said, I had been working with her and counseling with her and talking with her and praying about this situation for a long, long, long time. She said a couple of months went by, and she said she came to me and told me that at that service she was instantly set free from that depression. She said, I didn't want to say anything because I wanted to prove it out. And then when Marianne related the story to me, it had been exactly a year later, and this woman went to one of their ladies' meetings. It was testifying at the service. She said, and she testified, it's been a complete year. I have not had a single episode with this in a year. I was instantly set free of having serious problems with depression. FYI, she said, I didn't even want to go to the service that night. She said, they're having a guest minister, and said, I won't even go. It's not one. It's not. But she said, but I knew who Brother Mark was. So she said, well, I heard him preach before, so I guess I'll go hear him. Amen. Praise God. So what did this woman do? What did this man do? What did the woman with the issue of blood do that will work for anybody at any time, and it will work for you today? Verse 27, she heard about Jesus. Number one, you just have to hear about Jesus. She heard of Jesus. She heard that Jesus was healing people, that he was setting captives free, that he was meeting people's needs and delivering people from demonic power. Glory to God. She just simply heard. Amen. Now when you hear, you can't reject the truth. But you hear Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is still the healer. Jesus is still the deliverer. Jesus is still setting people free that come to him. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, and in every other way. He has redeemed us from all of the curse of the law. Praise God. So she simply heard about Jesus. Number two, she believed the word she heard. That's quite obvious, isn't it? Because she went to him and touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus turned to her and he said, your faith has made you whole. Not my faith, your faith has made you whole. Amen. So she believed. Glory to God. Some people hear the truth, but they reject it because it goes against their traditions. It goes against their religious ideas or their experiences in life. But you know, don't do that. Just take the word for what it says. Believe it for what it says. Glory to God. Jesus is still the healer. He's still the deliverer. Can you say amen? Amen. So she believed the word she heard. Amen. And he will save you. He will heal you. He will deliver you. He will make you whole and meet your need. You just need to simply believe it. And then number three, you can see this in verse 28. For she said, everybody say she said. She spoke out what she believed. She spoke out what she believed. Other translations, very interested, they all say the same thing. They say she kept saying. She kept saying. What did she say? She said what she believed. She said, I believe if I touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. She said what she believed. Everybody say, she said what she believed. Of course, in Mark 11:23, you're familiar with that. Praise God. Amen. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, truly I say unto you, for a fact I say unto you. I was just reading a quote I saw a movie what's his name? John James. John Adams, you know, Vice President of Washington, second President of the United States. Jefferson's his Vice President. He's one of the leaders in the Continental Congress in declaring independence from England. But he's defending some people that the people don't want to. He's actually defending some British soldiers, and the people want to hang them because they just don't like Britain. But they're not guilty of what they're accusing them to do. The people are just prejudiced against them because they're, you know, British soldiers, and nobody likes the British at that particular time, including John Adams, their defense attorney. But John Adams is presenting the case to these people and presenting the facts to these people, and he tells the jury, he says, facts are stubborn things. And the fact is, Jesus Christ is the healer. Praise God. Amen. And so Jesus said, and then Jesus said, for a fact. Amen. Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. Then he said, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he will have whatever he says. As a spiritual principle. You believe in your heart and you say it with your mouth and it comes to pass. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Romans 10:10, with the heart man believes and with the confession and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. So she believed. She spoke what she believed. And then number four, she acted on what she believed. Glory to God. She acted on what she believed and she received from Jesus. She acted. She actually went to Jesus, touched the hem of his garment, and believed at that moment, she believed at that moment, the healing power of God would go into her and heal her of her disease, and she believed at that particular moment in time, she would receive from Jesus the power to drive out her sickness. So she heard about Jesus. She heard the truth. She didn't treat it nonchalantly. That same service in Lexington, by the way, that I was at, there was a guy there that was just kind of dismissive of the service, like, oh yeah, we all know that. We've heard that for 40 years. But here's this little woman set free from deep, dark depression. She wasn't dismissive of the truth. She heard about Jesus. She heard the truth. She didn't believe and say, you know, I've been this way a long time. I probably can't get any help. And And I've had other people lay hands on me, and there's no use. And I probably couldn't even get to him anyway. Everybody's around him, and I'm not even supposed to be out here legally under, you know, according to Jewish law. She had this blood disease, you know, and she wasn't. It was illegal for her to be out in public. She said, "So this everything's working against me. I just won't do it." No, she heard Jesus could help her. She believed Jesus could help her. She said, "I will be made whole when I touch the hem of his garment," and she acted on it, and she received. When she touched the hem of his garment, she received the healing power of God that was there. The healing power of God was resident within Jesus. People were bumping into him right and left, but they weren't receiving their healing. They weren't getting delivered. They weren't being set free. It was the touch of faith that released the power of God. Amen. And her faith was, "I will be healed when I touch him." Amen. And the power of God flowed. Do you know the power of God's here this morning?
Yes, sir.
Because God is here. God, but you say, "Oh, you have to tap into that power." And when you tap into it, the power always comes. And see, really, then it's your faith activates or releases the power. And then there's a divine explosion, and you get what you need from God. Glory to God. Glory to God. But here's the key. Here's the key. Here's the key. Here's the key. Say, "I know all of that." Here's the key. Everybody say the key. She said, "I will be healed when I touch the hem of his garment." There must be a specific point in time where you believe you receive what you need. You're not trying to get it anymore. You're not begging for it. You're not asking for it. You're saying, I believe I get it right now. Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive. Which literally means take it by faith. I take it by faith. There has to come a point in time where you take it or it never becomes yours. So you have to take it. At that particular point, you now believe that you have what you asked for. All three of these cases were instant manifestations of the power of God. The power of God goes into you. And somebody says, "Did you get healed?" "I don't know. I didn't even check. I got healed because I believed I received." Well, what if things don't change? Doesn't have anything to do with it. I believed I received. The power of God went into me and I am healed right now from this point forward. Yes. Glory to God. That's faith. When I touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. That's what she believed. That's what she said. That's what she did. And that's what happened. Amen. See, touching the hem of his garment was touching Jesus. It's where the power to heal came from. Touching the hem of his garment was her point of contact. I like point of contact. I've used a point of contact for almost 50 years now. Sometimes I'll just touch something. There has to come a place where you're not asking, but you're receiving. From this moment forward. In my office this morning, I tell you what I literally did. I walked over to the door frame and I said, "I ask you for the anointing for this sermon." And right now, when I pull back on that. Not the feeling of that, but just a point of contact. Right now is where I took it, where I believe I receive it. Because if you don't believe you receive it, it never becomes yours. So you have any feeling? Sometimes, most of the time not. Then you just get up and step out in faith. Glory to God. And it comes, and it comes, and it comes every time. Touching the hem of his garment was a point of contact where she believed she was healed. You have to say something. You have to believe something. You have to act on what you believe and say before you have it, before you feel it, before you know it because of the natural facts, but based on the truth of God's word. Before. She believed if she touched the hem of her garment, she would be healed. While she was still bleeding, she believed that. While she was on her way to touch the hem of her garment, she was still hemorrhaging, but she believed if she would touch the hem of the garment, she would be healed. When she reached up to touch the hem of his garment, she still had symptoms. She was still hemorrhaging, but she believed it before. Glory to God. She was on his way, and she still believed it, even though she was sick. People miss miracles. They miss breakthroughs. They miss turnarounds in their life. They fail to receive what they desperately need from God because they want to see something first. They want to feel something first. They want to know something according to natural facts before they believe. But you have to believe, then you see. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God. But you must believe and confess and act like you have something, that you got something first. Then it'll manifest. Believe you receive and you shall have. Mark 11, 24. Believe you take it. Believe you got it. Then you have. The believing comes first. The having comes second. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So there must be a point in time where you release your faith and believe you got it. And then from then you say, I got it. I take it by faith. It's mine. I believe. I receive. And from this moment forward, it's mine. Glory to God, it's mine. Thank you that I'm healed. Thank you that I'm delivered. Thank you that I'm free of this problem. Thank you that my need is met. Oh, glory to God, it's mine. I have it now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can do that when you say amen to your own prayer. You can do that when somebody else agrees with you. You can do that when you just declare it to be so by faith, or when somebody else lays hands on you. And here's one last thing before we do what we're going to do here. Jesus didn't sovereignly pick this woman out. Jesus didn't go to her. Did he? Did he even know she was in the crowd? You can be bold and say, because he's 100% God, but he's 100% man. And you see, he stripped himself, the Bible says, emptied himself of his divine privileges. And the only way he knew things was by the Spirit of God. So he didn't know what you were thinking if you were standing beside him unless the Spirit of God showed him. He didn't know this woman was in the crowd. He didn't go to her. She came to him with her faith, and she initiated what she needed from God. Any believer can do that in need. Thank God for sovereign moves of the Spirit. Thank God for supernatural manifestations of the Holy Ghost to reach out to people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're grateful for that. We're thankful for that. That's as the Spirit wills. But any believer at any time can do what the woman with the issue of blood said. They can go to Jesus. They can touch the power and receive what they need. She initiated it. She initiated it. Glory to God. Her touch of faith released the power of God to heal her body. And when that power went into her body, she received it. So again, she heard, she believed. She said, when I touched the hem of his garment, and she touched him, everybody say, she received. She received. She received. And so can you. So can you. Can you right now where you're sitting, if you're dealing with some chronic long-standing problem, or maybe you just have some pain or problem that showed up in the last week or two and you don't know what it is. Maybe a doctor has diagnosed you with something. Maybe you've got something you're dealing with physically. Maybe you've got something you're dealing with mentally or emotionally. Maybe you have a need in your finances. Maybe you have a need in your family. Maybe you have a need to be free of whatever. Can you right now where you're sitting? Because in a minute I'm gonna lay hands on people. And can you begin to say within yourself, say it out loud, say, when Pastor Mark lays hands on me, I will be healed. When Pastor Mark lays hands, this is what I told the man that had the severe back problems to do. This is what I told the woman, you know, not specifically, but in general instruction. This is what I told the woman in Lexington, Kentucky to do. They sit there and he said, when he lays hands on me, I will be healed. She said, when he lays hands on me, I will be delivered from depression. Can you believe that and say that? Because it's not my power. Amen. Thank God. The Bible says to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So we have that scripture. But then thank God for gifts of the Spirit. When I lay hands on you, I promise you the power of God to heal you or deliver you or make you whole will be released into your life. And your faith, see, when your faith can receive that, can you simply say, I will be healed? When I come up to the front and Pastor Mark lays hands on me with an anointing and as a point of contact, I will be healed. I will be set free. My need will be met. When he touches me, the power of God will come into me. When he touches me, the power of God will come into me. If I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. I shall be delivered. When he lays hands on me, the power of God will come unto me. And I will receive and be healed or delivered or have my need met. And from that moment forward, I will just simply raise my hand and say, thank God, it's mine. I got it. Glory to God, this is over with. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm free. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Stand on your feet with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So you should do that right now. If you intend on coming up here to be laid hands on, to be healed, or come up here to be free of depression or free from some kind of mental problems or whatever it might be, or you want God to meet your need, answer your prayer, you should right now be saying to yourself, I believe. I believe when he touches me, the power of God will go into my body. I believe when he touches me, the delivering power, the healing power, the restoring power, whatever it is, I believe that power will go into me and I will be set free in the name of Jesus. Come on if you're coming. Come on, praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You're ready, aren't you? Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say, I believe, everybody. When Pastor Mark lays hands on these people, the power of God will go into them to fix whatever needs to be fixed, to drive out whatever needs to be driven out, to make whole, and to deliver, and to set free in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. So I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus. And I'm going to release my faith with the anointing of God that's on my life, and the power of God will come into you. Praise God. And you will receive it in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Step up a little closer to me if you don't mind. Step up a little closer. Right there. That's good. That's good. That's good. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Are you dealing with a physical symptom? God, no problem for God. Are you ready? Lift your hands to God. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the mighty name of Jesus. Say it. Yeah, there you go. That's it. In the name of Jesus, you be healed and you be well in your body. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Be healed. Be well. Be whole. Be delivered. Be free. In the name of Jesus. Right now. That's it. That's the power of God. Right? That was it. Right there. That was it. You got it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name. That's it. That's the power of God right there. That's it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Say it's mine. Oh, Linda. In the name. That's it. That's the power of God right there. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name. That's it. That's the power of God. In the name. In the name. That's it. That's the power of God right there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ready? That power kind of went in you, but it kind of flowed back out. Say, I take it now. In the name. That's it. You got it. Now lift your hands and praise God. Thank you for it. Lift your hands and thank God for it. In the name above every name, far above every name. That's who we're praying in. It's His power. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Be healed. Be well. Be restored. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Move around a little bit. Move around a little bit. Move around. Just like your faith. Move around. Bend down a little bit. Do something you couldn't do before. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Do it again. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Now say it. Say, I am healed. I am healed. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. In the name. The mighty. In the name of Jesus. Be healed and whole and delivered and set free. In Jesus. Well, that's a power of God in you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. No more. Say no more. No more. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The name above every name. We thank you, Father, that your power is released. The power to heal, to deliver, to set free, to make whole, to meet needs. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Glory. That's it right there. That's it. That's the power of God. Oh, glory to God. Amen. 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 That's it. That's going into it. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 If you've been around, you know, Pentecostal charismatic services any time at all, some of you for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. You have seen ministers inspired by the Spirit of God have people laugh or have people run or have people dance or have people do a Jericho march or have people, you know what they were doing? They by the Spirit of God, now you can do it in your own thing, but by the Spirit of God, they were simply giving you a point of contact to release your faith and take it right then, because that's the key to victory. Can you say amen? If you're saved and you know it, lift both hands to heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say, I will not suffer with chronic problems of any kind. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will not allow the devil to torture me with a spiritual attack. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Now say this. Say, I command the enemy to remove the whip that he has used to strike me over and over again with, to hurt me continually. I break the burden of his binding yoke by the power of the anointing of Jesus Christ. And in his mighty name I pray. In Jesus' name. Now give God praise and thanksgiving for it. Hallelujah. Glory to God, 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 glory to God. Shandalava mano sotolava bakaran, shandalava bakaran, dalava bakaran, shandalava mano sotolava bakaran, dalava bakaran.
Sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. The God of all power, and it is your will that my life is here.
Yes, 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 yes.
Happened in prayer this week. I was praying for someone, this girl I know, and I was praying over them and speaking the word and looking up scriptures, and we'd had all the family over a few days ago to celebrate birthdays. You know, you got to combine them when you got a bunch. And so I was telling one of them that there's this huge spider web on our deck, the spider, you know. I said, I just hadn't had the heart to tear it down because the web is beautiful, and it's just getting bigger and bigger, and it's so, you know, it was so intricate. It's just, you know, and I'd look at it and go, wow, that's just so amazing, you know. Of course, it's got this ugly spider on it. And so, anyway, and I did walk out there one day and hit the web. And I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, you know. You know, things don't fall out of curly hair, you know. They kind of get stuck in there. So, but I didn't knock it down. But a few days later, when I was praying, you know, I had this strong impression because I was praying over this girl. And all of a sudden, it was like there's this web that, you know, this web all around them that I can't see clearly. And the Lord spoke to me about it, I believe, and He said, you got to kill the spider. And, you know, just I went and grabbed my bug spray. I went out, there was two, actually, and one on the front and one on the back. And I sprayed that spider till he was dead. I mean, shh, you know. And then, you know, it was such a joy to tear down the web. But you know, that encouraged me. That encouraged me. Because the devil is a defeated foe. And whatever's going on in your life that is demonically inspired, you know, you can kill the spider. And then the web is easy. The web is easy. The web is easy. And so today, I believe in certain places and instances in your life, you have put your foot down. The devil's under your foot. And you have killed the spider, and you're free. It was good news that it was just the spider. That was good news. The web wasn't the problem. It's good news that the devil's the problem, because Jesus has defeated him completely. You're free.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, baby. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's the fastest way to learn jujitsu, you know. Just walk into a spider web. Mark 5. In John 5, Jesus went up to a man, five pools full of people, sick. An angel troubled the water, stirred the water, and the first person that got in got healed. Just the first person. Not everybody, just the first person. Well, God's God. If he wants to trouble the waters and stir the waters and heal the first person that gets in, he can do that, can he? But you know, most of those people didn't get healed. If the woman with the issue of blood would have went to the five pools of Bethesda waiting to be healed, she'd have probably never been the first person to get in. But every single maimed person, every single crippled person, every single diseased person that was at those five pools of Bethesda, they could have touched the hem of his garment like she did, and every single one of them did. You could initiate the power of God in your own life with your faith. And if you can make it work for one area, you can make it work for every area. Just pick you out a point in time, have you a point of contact, and say, when I say amen, or when you agree with me, or when I touch this, pick you out a point of contact and release your faith and believe that you received it and got it and that it's now yours. Make it work in every area. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you're a good-looking bunch. So good to see you. I'm surprised the building's not tilted this way a little bit, but we love you. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus.